I'll read verse 31. Luke 12, 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Matthew 6, 33, seek ye first. Glory to God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. What's first in your life? What is number one in our life tonight? Your future depends on it. Because you won't make it unless you get this priority straight. 41 years ago, I was in a revival right here in Hamilton, Ohio. In November 1954, I'd traded Old Blue, my 48 Plymouth, for a 54 Plymouth. Amen. I drove it into Hamilton. It was a yellow Plymouth with a black top and green U.S. Royal Master side white, green sidewall tires. It was those tires, you know, that was straight treaded, sliced, you know, to give a grip on the road. I bought them on sale at Mattoon, Illinois. Amen. Man, you talk about a car. Oh, it was a three-speed shift on the wheel job, you know. They didn't have very many automatics in 1954 yet. Amen. That's, incidentally, the car that Sister Collins learned to drive in. Amen. That's when we sat real close. And she said, no, there's a close just the side of it. Well, just well teach her how to drive. Amen. And I drove that car into Hamilton, Ohio. Amen. And Jim Bryant was one of the young people. Him and Paul Ballin was one of the young, two of the young men in the church in Franklin Street. Amen. Over here on the west side of Hamilton. Amen. And I called the pastor to find out how to get to the church. And I told him what station I was at, and he sent those two boys after me. Amen. I drove all the way into Hamilton that day. Amen. A fellow down in Ironton, Missouri, that run a shoe store, went to Assembly of God Church. I'd preached at every Assembly of God Church in the Van Buren section except Van Buren and Fisk. Amen. Fisk was too far out of the way, out on the fringe, and Van Buren was too hotsy-totsy, as John Sullivan said, for me to preach for. Amen. But I preached revival in most of the churches in the section, including the sectional presbyter, Brother A.W. Love. Amen. In Van Buren, Missouri, I had a 3-week revival and 36 people saved in that revival in Van Buren, Missouri. A fellow had followed me around revivals down in southeast Missouri, and he gave me a pair of white buck shoes with these words. I'll give you these shoes if you'll wear them. Amen. I don't wear anything that's free, just about. Amen. So I wore them white for a while and then scrubbed all the white off of them and dyed them black and shined them up real good and wore them black for a while. But I was still wearing them white when I walked into or came into Hamilton, Ohio, had those white buck shoes on, a pair of tan trousers, amen, and a dark brown sport coat with snowflakes all over it, and stepped out of that yellow Plymouth with a black top. Amen. And Jim Bright, his got a brother here in town, Dr. Bryant, still lives here in town. Amen. Sister Richardson knows him. Some of the rest of you may know Dr. Bryant, but Jim became a preacher and a missionary. Him, Paul Baldwin, the last I heard, was both living in Kansas City, Missouri. Amen. Jim Bryant looked over at Paul Baldwin. He saw me step out of the car, amen, to let him know who I was. And he said, "Hot dog, we got a cat for a preacher this time." He was used to Vince Wilson, you know, an old mountaineer, no necktie preacher, you know. Amen. Come driving into Hamilton in his pickup truck. Amen. And they had a little bit of a change from Vince Wilson and Wallace Timmons on Franklin Street. Amen. I preached a solid month on Franklin Street. It snowed 10 inches and come 2 or 3 inches on top of that. Amen. During that revival, a pastor and I was riding down the street in his new 55 Cadillac. This was January 1956. Amen. And he saw a lady who hadn't been to church in a good while walking down the sidewalk in downtown Hamilton. And he said, "Hey, I've been missing you." He pulled over and rolled down the window and he said, "Why haven't you been to church?" She said, "I'm sick." Amen. She was out on the streets of Hamilton shopping. 10 inches, 12 inches of snow on the ground. And the reason she couldn't come to church, she was sick. Amen. Folks, we just got to get our priorities straight. We've got to decide what's first in our life. Praise God. It depends on what's first in our life, whether we go to church, rain or shine, wind and snow, rain and sleet. Hey, if the mail carrier can do it, the holiness folks can do it. Amen. Yeah, nothing stops these couriers. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. Got to be careful what we say sometimes. Amen. I was in my home church back home in Midway, Thayer, Missouri, preaching one night. Came through, amen. And I was preaching how cranky the postmasters were in all the post offices across the country. Amen. And I said, "Have you all ever seen one that wasn't cranky?" I forgot all about Brother Roy Hatfield, one of my best friends, sitting right there in church just dying laughing. He was a postmaster in Mammoth Spring, Arkansas. Amen. He was one of those that wasn't cranky, one of those that wasn't sour. Amen. I guess one reason I didn't think he was sour was because I knew him. Amen. I knew, praise God, his turn. I knew his priorities. I knew, praise God, that Jesus Christ was first in his life. Amen. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you love the Lord first and foremost, if you love Jesus first and foremost, amen, ain't nothing going to knock you out of the box very easy. And if he knocks you out of the box, you crawl under the ropes and get back in again. Woo! Praise God. Throw my name in the pot. Praise God. Throw my name in the pot one more time. Vince Wilson said, "I wish I had it to do over." Amen. He said, "I'd throw my hat in the ring quicker this time than I did the first time." Praise God. Woo! Glory to God. Cash Amberg, you spoke about preachers preaching at the drop of a hat and dropping it themselves. Well, glory. Amen. I'm glad to be on the battlefield for God. Amen. Where are you at, preacher? Amen. 41 years down the road. 41 years since I drove into Hamilton the first time. Didn't think I'd ever be back. As circumstances and things happened, didn't know if I'd ever be back. It looked like I was destined to preach in the Midwest, a little further west. Amen. Instead of the Miami Valley, didn't know if I'd ever be back. Praise God. Oh, how did you make it? 41 years. How you doing? Well, 41 years later, I believe, if anything, I'm closer to God than I was then. I believe, if anything, I'm doing better than I was then. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. How do you make it 41 years without changing? How do you make it 41 years without winding up way out left field someplace? Or way off over the cliff on the right someplace? How did you make it? Praise God. I'll tell you how. You seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. I'll tell you something else tonight. He's not only first. He's not only the Alpha. He's the Omega. Amen. He's not only the A. He's the Z. He must not only be the A. He's got to be the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. Amen. He's got to be the A and the Z. He's got to be the first, last, and always, praise God. Who is number one in your life tonight? What takes first place in your life tonight? Amen. Go back to the very first of the chapter. In the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another. Can you imagine? They was walking on each other. And they still stayed. They was walking on each other's hands and feet. They trod one upon another. And they still stayed. What kept the crowd? What held them? When it was as stuffy as could be. When it was sticky and hot. And there wasn't no McDonald's around the corner. And no fancy restrooms. But they stayed with Jesus. And they trod one upon another. What kind of message would they hear? What kind of people, what caliber people would stay and listen? And their ears would fall upon every word. They wouldn't miss a thing. When Jesus preached, everybody quit talking. When Jesus preached, someone said the baby stopped crying. When Jesus preached, they stood at rapt attention. What would he say? He would say, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." And they stayed on. He would say, "There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known." And they hung on. The crowd stuck. He couldn't shake them off. Oh, he did a little bit later on when he said, "You gotta eat my flesh and drink my blood." And they thinned out. Amen. Boy, that was going a little too far. Now, we don't understand that terminology, but the Eastern mind did. Jesus said, "You got to enter into life with me. You got to be like me. You got to act like me. You got to follow me." Praise God. Amen. And he said, "It's a hard saying. He's preaching too hard." And many of his disciples walked no more with him. But today, they trod one upon another. "Therefore, whatsoever you've spoken in darkness shall be heard in light." And they shuddered about words quickly spoken. They shuddered about gossip that had been said carelessly, amen, behind closed doors with walls shutting out the world. Nobody knew. Jesus shakes them right down to their toenail and said, "It's all coming out in the open." And they stayed on. Amen. Praise God. "That which you have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." Amen. Oh, glory to God. Lady called me after I'd taken the church here at the Highway of Holiness, a singing group that used to sing, preach here a whole lot. Amen. And she said, they're ringing my phone and this, that, and the other, and I haven't got time to discuss all these things, this, that, and the other. Amen. You know what they'd done? They'd taken sides in the decision. Amen. I said, hey, Jesus said that everything's done in secret. It's going to be shouted from the housetops. I said, there's one thing you can't do. You can't beat that rap. Amen. People's going to talk. Oh, are they ever going to talk? Amen. They're going to announce your sins for you. Amen. Sooner or later, one way or the other. Amen. But they stayed on. They shuddered. They shook right down their toenails. But they hung in there. Praise God. And he said, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body after that they have no more that they can do. But I'll forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him that after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. He taught them the fear of God. Praise God. And they stayed on. Hallelujah. Nowadays, if you teach people anything but love, they'll leave you. Nowadays, some of the biggest preachers in the world, they don't preach the fear. I heard, amen, Johnny Carson years ago in a pastor's house had the TV on, and Johnny Carson was interviewing Oral Roberts, amen, and so I was listening, and he popped the question about whether he preached the fear of God, and he said, no, he didn't dwell on the fear of God, He emphasized the love of God. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Oral had slipped cogs a long time ago. Amen. He hadn't remained the same. Amen. How do you remain the same? How do you keep your convictions? How do you stay with God? 41 years. 45 years. 46 years. How you live for God 48 years? That's how long I've been saved. Well, I want to tell you, I didn't have my priorities straight when I first got saved. There's a little voice down inside of me said, self, amen. Just as soon as these convictions wears off, you can go back to some of the things of the world that you're going to have to give up because you're saved. And you know what? I was pre-programmed from that moment for those convictions to wear off enough that I would go back to the world. And then God dealt severely with me. And when God got done shaking me over hell and put the fear in me, I was ready to give up everything that stood between me and God. I couldn't let sports, fun, or friends, loyalties and worldly associations and obligations keep me from serving God. I had to find out that first and foremost, my first obligation, my first loyalty, amen, my first priority was to serve God no matter what. And I had to give it all up. Amen. I mean all of it. Praise God. But me giving it all up, I was able to bring some more along with me, at least for a while. Amen. You'll not make a very big impact on your family if you're straddling the fence. Because you see, they know if you're straddling the fence. You'll not make a very much of an influence on your family, those immediately associated with you, because they're watching and they know. Don't we all know? Oh, yes, we know. even the sinners know. If you don't believe it, just ask them. They'll volunteer it. Amen. They know. Amen. I said, don't fear anything but God. But don't we fear what folks will say? Don't we cringe at what folks might think? Hallelujah. I don't mean that you're supposed to get calloused and hard and mean, but you do have to come to the place to where you serve God regardless of what they say. You're going regardless of what they say. You're going with Jesus. So I wrote that song. Amen. I'm going anyway. I'm going to pray. If I prayed by myself, or a stand, I wouldn't be in presumptuous. Amen. If you go for God, no matter what, you got a chance of winning somebody else. But what if you do win somebody over to your way and your side, if you're a half-hearted Christian? You'll make a half-hearted convert, that's what. Your converts will be just like you. Amen. Yes, you preach a half gospel, you'll have half Christians. Amen. You preach sermonettes, you'll have Christianettes. You preach a watered down gospel, you'll have deluded saints. Amen. Glory to God. We ought to get our priorities straight and say, I'm going. Even if there are hypocrites in the church. Jesus said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Amen. You gotta be willing to stick with God, even if there are some hypocrites around. Amen. And so you can't let hypocrisy cause you to stumble. Hey, there may be some hypocrites around, but you don't have to be one. Amen. Well, church may be full of hypocrites, like some people says it ain't, but they say it is. Amen. What if it is? Hey, you be the one that stands out from the pack. You be the one that's got your priorities straight. Praise God. Amen. Oh, yes. The priority of life. He spoke everything from hypocrisy to unpardonable sins. Amen. Down in verses 2, 5, 10. Whatsoever. Whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Ooh, that shook them right down to their toenails. But they stayed on. Amen. They hung on. You're going to keep putting God first? If people and preachers and whole movements say, it's of the devil. He's casting out devils by the power of the devil. He's doing all his works by the power of Beelzebub. You see, he's got agreement with the devil that he'll go in and he'll cast out devils and the devils will go away. Amen. It looked like he's doing miracles. So they said he's casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub. They were attributing the miracles of Jesus to the power of the devil. Jesus said, be careful what you say. Amen. Be careful what you say. Oh, glory to God. Lady called me up at Middletown, Ohio years ago. Amen. Said, I can't talk to my pastor about this. So I went up to her business place up close to Manchester School. Amen. I went in there and talked with her. For a long time. Said, I can't talk to my pastor. Went to the Bible Baptist Church. Brother Sears was her pastor. I can't talk to my pastor about this. He wouldn't understand. But she said, I feel like I've committed the unpardonable sin. And I said, when did you commit the unpardonable sin? She says, when I was a little girl. Said they was having a revival down on Crawford Street. And he said, we'd go and look in the windows and watch them shout. Watch people talking in tongues. And said, then we'd go home and we'd make mockery of it. And said, I said, old Sister So-and-so talks like this. And she rattled off like Sister So-and-so talked. And she said, something happened when I made mockery of a work of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And she said, I feel like that I've committed the unpardonable sin. I talked to her as proverbially I was blue in the face. I tried to convince her where there's life, there's hope. And maybe she hadn't. But I left having not fully convinced that woman who was a faithful member to another church. I wasn't even her pastor. That she had committed the unpardonable sin. How do you keep from committing the unpardonable sin? Put God first in your life. You put God first, you put the things of God first. You seek Him first, you want all He's got for you. You'll not mock any of the good things of heaven. Amen. You'll not mock any of the good things of God. Outside the tent where I was saved, I was out there with some of the boys one night. And even though I wasn't saved at that time, amen, there was Harlan Case. His mother was a Martin. And there was several of the boys around Leland and Udell and Lee Martin, which later became my brother-in-law. Amen. And people under that tent was shouting and speaking in other tongues. And Lee Martin said, that's crazy, ain't it? That's crazy, ain't it? I'm glad that he didn't go too far, though. Amen. He at least didn't say it was of the devil. Because that's dangerous, folks. That's dangerous. Amen. Oh, they had just attributed the works of Jesus to the power of the devil. And Jesus said, 12th chapter of Matthew, every word that man speaks, speak against the Son, it'll be forgiven. But if you speak against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. I lived long enough to see Lee Martin saved. Asking the blessing at meals. Amen. And going to a Pentecostal church where they talked in tongues and run the aisles and praised God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. How do you keep from committing the unpardonable sin? Hey, put God first, second, third, always. Amen. Put God first. And then everything that God has will be your priority. Amen. It'll be your promise. It'll be your possibility. It'll be your potential. Hallelujah. In God. Praise God. Amen. Who are you going to put first when, amen, they bring you to the synagogues and into the magistrates and powers? Take no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in that hour what ye ought to say. Amen. What are you going to do when the church is on trial? Which side are you going to take? The church or the way that's no resistance? The easy way out. Amen. Oh, we're called upon to take sides sooner or later. We're called upon to stand together sooner or later. Amen. And we will take sides Amen. Oh, yes. He spoke a little later on in the chapter about how that he'd come to send fire on the earth. And what would he if it was already kindled? And I say unto you, amen, that I'm come to set those in your own household. Five in one household. Two will be against three, and three will be against two. I come to bring division and a sword. Are you still going to put God first when the division comes and when the sword comes? Are you going to take sides with the family? With mama or daddy or sister or brother? They say blood flows thicker than water. What are you going to do when it comes time, regardless of what the rest of the family's doing, to make a decision whether you're going to serve God or not? I'll tell you what 75% of folks in holiness churches do. They'll take sides right down the family line. Live, die, sink, or swim. They'll take sides of the family. Amen. Jesus said you can't do it! Unless, of course, the family's right. Amen. You've always got to take sides with the right, no matter what. No matter what mama says. No matter what daddy says. No matter what grandpa says. No matter what Uncle Newt says. No matter what Aunt Kate says. Glory to God. You got to live for God. You got to go to heaven. You got to live right. Who's first? When it comes time to take sides. Amen. Who's going to be first? Who was first today? If he says tonight, thy soul shall be required of thee. Who was first this morning in your life when church started? Huh? When the alarm clock sounded, you didn't even set it. Amen. Because you didn't intend to come to church today. You let a whole Sunday be wasted without going to the house of God. Amen. If tonight he says, thy soul shall be required of thee, what did you do with the Lord's day today? Huh? How and where did you spend it? Did you put God first? The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barn and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. How do you get rich toward God? How do you make up a payday for God? How do you sow for a reaping? For God. Amen. Why, you put in the time. Seeking Him. Putting Him first. You put in the time in prayer, fasting, and church attendance. You put in the time of revival. You make the sacrifice. You give up your fun. You give up your friends. You give up your follies. Because that's what most things are that hinder us. Just follies. Amen. Not worth 2 cents compared to eternity. Amen. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Amen. It's going to mean something to be faithful. Praise God. Hallelujah. What takes priority in all our pursuits? Amen. Amen. In all our seeking, seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. And the crowd is big at Jesus preaching. And look what he's preaching to them. Amen. And they're walking on each other to hear these words. Amen. And he tells them, seek not what ye shall eat. And they've been hungry, some of them, for days. Amen. What ye shall drink. And they're thirsty, but he's teaching. Hallelujah. Neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of those things. But what do you seek first? Foremost, seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. To what extent do we seek the kingdom of God? Read verse 33. Sell that you have. And I'm going to paraphrase here a little bit. Sell that you have if you have to put God first. Amen. Give alms. Amen. If you have to put God first. Hey. Provide yourselves bags that wax not old, a treasure in heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth, and they still stayed. And he's telling them to give it all up. He's telling them to sell it all out. Amen. He wasn't telling them anything, amen, that would injure their future. In fact, it might be a help to them. The Romans going to come and take it away from them anyway. The Romans going to come and ride roughshod over the country anyway. The Romans going to come, amen, and desolate the country anyway. It might be a good time to sell out your stocks. Good time to sell out your stuff. Good time, praise God, to move and follow Jesus. Because there wasn't nobody going to keep it very long, no how. Well, how long you think you're going to keep yours? Huh? How long? Take me a long time to tell about all those that have been buried in 41 years since I preached on the west side in Hamilton. Amen. And they wasn't a U-Haul following a single hearse. Amen. You're going to lose it anyway. Why not put God first and let God give you some real treasure? Let God give you something that'll last. Let God will give you something, to praise God, that's eternal. It's really worthwhile, praise God. Seek Him first. Sell out in order to get the kingdom. If you have to, praise God. And then be faithful. Amen. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where do you think our treasure ought to be? Where do you think our treasure ought to be tonight? Huh? Where do you think our treasure ought to be? Ah, yes. Our treasure ought to be on high. Amen. In the heavens. Treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Well, 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 well. Amen. Things that we're so occupied with, and so proud of, the moth gets them. The termites gets it. The rust gets it. Amen. I'll tell you what's going to happen to that dream boat sitting in the garage. Amen. It's going to turn into a rust bucket after a while. It's going to wind on up on a truck, mashed flat, haul it, praise God, to the smelter to melt it back down again to make somebody else a dream. Amen. Isn't that a sight? That fabulous dream automobile that took so much of our time and took our eye, almost idolized it. Amen. Man, I got me a 38 Ford and I was pastoring the church. I was tickled to death in my car. Amen. And I'd go to the door of that log cabin and look out every once in a while, look at my car. Amen. And I heard the gravels rustling outside. And I learned later that I'd forgot to put it in gear and scotch it. Amen. And I looked out the door just in time to see my 38 Ford running off down the hill. By itself, with nobody in it. Amen. I stood there aghast. Amen. That my car that I paid $75 for, my dream boat, wound up in the ditch. Amen. That deep ditch out in front of the house. Amen. And I had to get somebody to help pull it out. Amen. To get my dream boat out. Mechanical brakes. A gas heater that never did work. It was always cold in that 38 Ford. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. I didn't know much about cars, but that was my first dream boat. Amen. Oh, yeah. Beautiful green, decorated up just a little bit. Amen. Blue smoke came out the back. I got gallons per mile for oil. Amen. Instead of gas. Amen. Luke Haney, the constable of Mammoth Spring, chased me out of Mammoth Spring and 4 miles out of town, he caught up with me and pulled me over with his siren. And he said, "What in the world are you burning in that thing?" Said, "When he's going up the hill," said, "the sparks are just rolling out the back. Looked like he's on fire. And when you're going down the hill," said, "I couldn't even see you for the smoke." But it was my dream boat. My 38 Ford. My first preaching vehicle. Amen. Oh, yes. I'll tell you where it wound up. It wound up in the salvage yard, just like all the rest of them's going to. Amen. Praise God. Put God first in your life. My God, put God first. What's supposed to be first in our life? Let your loins be girt about. Your light's burning. Ye yourselves liken the men that wait for their Lord when he returned from the wedding. And when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants when the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and he will come forth and serve them. My God, what a day that's going to be when the king shall serve his faithful servants. That's how much he thinks of you. When you're faithful through the years, through the tears, through the reverses, through the downs and through the disappointments, someday he'll serve you if you'll stay faithful to God. And if you should come in a second watch or come in a third watch and find them so blessed to those servants. Amen. The third watch was the last one on the Jewish time clock. The Romans divided it into four watches. Amen. They had four watches. Don't make any difference which way you divide it up. Divide up 2,000 years any way you want to. Three watches or four watches. We're in the last part of the last watch in this millennium. And he's coming. Praise God. Will he come in the first watch, second watch, third watch? Amen. Oh, amen. He didn't come the first watch. He didn't come the second watch. He didn't come the third watch if you divide up like a Roman.